I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey on KSL News Radio.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for being with us. It's another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Carey, Scott Mitchell. Scott, thanks for being with us.
You are most welcome, Alex.
We appreciate that.
Yes.
Hey, yeah, we've got a show to do for you here. We've got a lot to talk about. And right off the bat, there's a lot of news swirling around in the world of college football. It's just rumor and speculation, though, Scott. I mean, you can't
do anything. That's the best thing.
You can't do anything with rumor and speculation, man. That's where we're going to start off here with everybody backpedaling. No, 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 nothing to see here. Just a lot of reports. And with a lot of smoke, there's fire usually. So let's start there with the possibility of Texas and Oklahoma. Would they be leaving the Big 12 at some point? That's where we're starting things right here with the 705 Cut.
The Cut at 705. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Reports out of the Houston Chronicle saying that Texas and Oklahoma are looking to join the SEC. And the SEC, I know this is a shocker, Scott, are reportedly very interested in probably two of the biggest programs in the history of college football maybe joining their conference. Now, it sounds wild because it sounds like, there's a version of it that sounds a little bit like, hey, LeBron and James Harden and Kevin Durant and Steph Curry are all going to the same team. They're going to play for the Utah Jazz next year, man. But, I mean, like, this is beyond a super conference. The SEC is already the biggest conference. It's already the most important. It already makes the most money. So you take the two biggest programs that make the most money out of the Big 12, you move them over to that conference. It makes sense in a world of college football playoffs moving forward. And to me, everybody's looking to figure out a way to maximize their conference. And boy, the SEC, this would be an amazing way for them to do it.
Well, let's go to cliches.
Here it goes.
The rich get richer. And if you can't beat them, join them.
You join them.
Yeah. I mean, when I hear this, like, as not a Texas fan or an Oklahoma fan or really an SEC fan, it's kind of demoralizing.
It's a little bit disheartening.
It's very discouraging. It's disheartening. It's like, oh, my. And when you see kind of this shift, you know, these power grabs, money grabs, land grabs, whatever – it creates a frenzy, and you have to believe that maybe some of these discussions are going on behind closed doors with other teams, because really the Big 12 without Texas and without Oklahoma is not big. It's small. It's probably irrelevant and probably dies. You remember the Big East and two of their schools said, well, I guess it was Pittsburgh, West Virginia, and Syracuse said, we're going to the ACC. And it basically wiped out
the
Big East. And this is the potential of that happening. And I look at this and I go, well, if you're still a conference surviving, you're a Pac-12 conference, man, you can't let anyone leave. You can't let USC leave. You can't let, you know, any of the schools leave. And you've got to consolidate your power as well. If you want to be relevant, and this is a tough thing for the Pac-12, you have got to find ways to get – some of these better teams in your conference. And when I say better teams, it's got to be some names, big names.
Two things I want to ask you. So you brought a little bit up of the Pac-12, looking at this thing going, hey, I want to know how it affects the Pac-12, what their thinking is on. Plus, everybody goes immediately to, hey, man, does that mean there's a place for BYU somewhere in all this thing? Are we moving more toward a 16? Because that would put the SEC at 16 teams.
Yes.
And then you start to look at the Big Ten, who has 14 teams as well. And you go, look, how easy would it be for them to add another couple teams in there? I mean, maybe even – I know the ACC and Notre Dame have a deal together, but, you know, maybe they start looking around and they say, hey, if we're going to have that super conference, 16-team super conferences across the country, we might see that earlier than we ever thought possible because of the fact that college football – this is all happening because of the college football playoff expansion.
Yeah, it really is. It's happening, I'm sure, with money. It's happening with – realizing that if you have more power, then you command more network dollars. I mean, because they're going to renegotiate contracts and they're going to say, you know, look, we're going to add these schools. I mean, if I'm Notre Dame, I you know, you mentioned at the ACC, Notre Dame belongs in the Big Ten. I mean, it would be so much better to have Michigan playing Notre Dame, play Ohio State playing Notre Dame, a lot of these other, you know, Penn State playing Notre Dame, that it just it's a Big Ten school. It's in the Midwest. It's in that area of the country. It just makes so much more sense for Notre Dame to fit in that. And it's a traditional old stuffy conference, and that's kind of what Notre Dame is. It's traditional old and stuffy. and so I think as you look at some of these teams and where they really fit, it makes sense. I'll tell you, you know who doesn't make sense? Is Nebraska
in the Big Ten?
Nebraska, yes. Nebraska needs to come out west.
Nebraska needs to be in the Pac-13, man. Let's go. Let's.
Well, then you go 14 and go, and you add a couple. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of who really is left in the Big 12 after Texas and Oklahoma that really matter.
You could make an argument. What's interesting is Iowa State has been like the best it's been in a long time.
Yeah,
in football. But that team makes way more sense in the Big Ten than it does in the Big 12.
1,000%.
And then on the flip side of it too, you've got Oklahoma State, who is always pretty good at all the sports, right? I mean, all these sports, they're always pretty good. But they are not Oklahoma. They're not not the class of that state. And that's what I mean. Listen, let's play something here that I thought was actually the most enjoyable part of my day. Having been a guy who grew up, born in Austin. I liked cheering for the Longhorns when I was a kid living in Texas, right? Because that's what you kind of go, man, Texas. Now, the big thing was the jokes that were always made were between Texas and Texas A&M.
Right.
And when so the Aggies were always the butt of the joke there in Texas. It's kind of the BYU-Utah thing. It's a lot of – all the same jokes can be repurposed from this rivalry to any rivalry. And they were totally used down in Texas. Texas A&M – and they're in the SEC. When they made that move to the SEC – it was the best thing that's ever happened to that school. And they look at this and they go, if that's true, this is one of the worst things we've ever heard. Case in point, their athletic director who looked at this thing and went, this is the worst news I've ever heard, and we're not going to – I can't believe this is happening. Here's what he had to say about the whole thing.
We want to be the only SEC program in the state of Texas. There's a reason why Texas A&M left the Big 12. To be standalone, to have our own identity, and that's our feeling.
Is there any languages?
Listen, there's a better-looking girl at the dance. I'm sorry.
It's basically saying we're afraid of Texas, we're afraid of Oklahoma, and that's insane. That's
idiotic. You know what? Listen,
like
Texas A&M just got Dear John'd. I mean, this is like is bad, total bad news. I found somebody who's hotter than you. And they're right here, man.
Called Texas.
It's called Texas. I mean, if the SEC would be absolutely nuts to not look at a possibility of this. You're talking about a time where you can actually make even more money. This is their way of getting back and saying, hey, you know what? NIL's going on. College football is officially for sale. It always kind of has been, but we didn't really talk about it. College football's for sale, and if you have the biggest and best teams in the best conference, you're going to make the most money, man. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. We've got more to talk about. I've got some of the reaction from some of the teams, what they had to say about it, and it's a sad deal. You're looking at the possibility of college football's major conferences being broken up in a big way because of this news. Just the news itself. Stay right here with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled.
All right, folks, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled, Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey. Thank you for tuning into the program. We appreciate it. And I got a question for you, Alex.
Fire away. What do you got?
Well, apparently the Milwaukee Bucks, I guess, won the NBA championship overnight.
Did that happen last night?
It happened last night.
My son, by the way, you've never seen a kid flip-flop so much, so quickly.
Oh, he's one of those.
Well, I mean, he wants to celebrate with somebody.
And he just wants a winner, right?
It wasn't going to be the Jazz. And so in each series, he goes, all right, well, I kind of want the Sun. He'd pick a team and just go, well, I kind of want that team to win. And it wasn't like, I'm a big fan. It was more just like, yeah, I just want them to win. And then he would be cheering for that team. So he's been kind of cheering for the Suns. He's like, Dad, it's a Western Conference team. I said, I like your reasoning. I'm not going to cheer for the Suns, but I like your reasoning. It's fine. It's logical. It makes sense. And then last night he goes, the game was about to get over, and he's like, hey, I like these Bucks. I like this Bucks team. And I'm like, okay, sure. And then I was like, I'm not buying any championship T-shirts at the end of this thing when they go, hey, everybody, act fast. You can get your Milwaukee Bucks 2021 T-shirt.
You bought a shirt, didn't you?
Did not buy a shirt. Absolutely not. No way. I'd be like, look, there's no way we're going to buy a Milwaukee Bucks anything. Now, that being said, I know other people who have. But anyway, what was your question again? Sorry.
Well, no, you kind of answered it. But okay. It was kind of which team did you want? Are you happy that they won, I guess?
Yeah, we were talking about it a little bit last night where it was like, the Bucks have all the storylines, right? And I know the Suns haven't – they're not a winning franchise, and so it's fine for another team to win a franchise.
You think the Bucks are a winning franchise?
No, I'm just saying that, like they have some history. I mean, they had Kareem on their team. They won the championship, you know, 50 years ago and all this stuff. But it took all that reminding in the series to realize that, like, man, it's been 50 years since they've been – since they've won a championship. I wanted them to win because I think Giannis is as likable of a dude as you can get, so – That's where I was last night.
I was happy they won.
We were just talking a little bit about the college football shakeup that is due. Now, here's a timeline, though, for you. Because Texas and Oklahoma reportedly have expressed interest to the SEC of becoming part of the SEC. Which, if you express interest and you are Texas and Oklahoma, you kind of get what you want. And if you're the SEC and you're pursuing them, you kind of get what you want. But the thing is that... you're not going to see something like this happen for a long, long time. And when I say a long, long time, because we want stuff right now. Texas is not going to join Oklahoma and go to the SEC now. I'll just give you a timeline here. The College Football Playoff Committee is looking at the possibility of expansion. That's likely not going to happen at the earliest until 2023 or 2024. The TV deal that is in place currently with the Big 12 doesn't expire until 2025, which makes it to where I don't think you're going to actually see anything. You're not going to see Texas and Oklahoma join the SEC until 2026. So let that be a clarion call to the powers that be down at BYU. You've got till 2026, Tom Holmo. You've got till 2026. Please put BYU in a conference that is worth being a part of, have the possibility of winning a championship to be able to get to the college football playoff. Please. 2026. That's a mere 5 years away, which is short in these time frames. I mean, we're talking about one full recruiting class away, like, you know, of a full everybody going through the program and then a whole new group coming back through again for you to be able to find your way into a
super conference. BYU is just one cycle. It's all the missionaries.
I got it. Yeah. So my whole thing is this.
It's one missionary cycle. You have to speak so they understand.
No, I know.
You can't just. So wait a minute. We do things a little bit slower here.
So here's what I wanted to say. Because teams are not happy. We already played the athletic director from Texas A&M saying, oh, no, please. We want to be the only team from Texas in the SEC. Okay? But let's talk a little bit about some of these teams that would be extremely disappointed. First of all, Texas and Oklahoma right off the bat said this. College athletics is a landscape that shifts constantly. We do not address anything that is anonymous or a rumor. Texas spokesman. Speculation swirls around college athletics. It's the same statement, essentially. We will not address rumors and speculation. And I thought, You guys could have at least made some effort to go. Like my statement, if I was the University of Texas, if I was their athletic director, I would say, "How dare you? These are baseless rumors that I will not even. I will not even look. Get this guy out of here." And then when they become true, you just go, "Well, yeah, we didn't want to confirm it at that time." I mean, that's all you have to say. Oklahoma and Texas, to me, have just basically shown their hand by giving the same exact statement.
They've already said that this is a done deal. And because if it wasn't, you're right. They would just say no. This is that this.
They would say no.
There's no nothing in that.
What they're basically doing is we're waiting for the ink to dry, and then we'll figure this thing out.
Now, I think it's important though for these schools that if this kind of stuff is going to happen, I realize that it's a bit down the road, but it does impact. It certainly impacts money, but it impacts recruiting. It impacts fan bases. It impacts a lot of things. And maybe by doing this, they're doing it in a goodwill gesture, saying, "Look, the rest of the Big 12, this could cause you to have some reeling, and you could really be in a tough spot here, even to the point that you could be disbanded as a whole conference." So I think in maybe some regard, it's just we just want to be nice, good neighbors, good conference members here, and give you a chance to find a home or to reconfigure the Big 12. I mean, the Big 12 without Texas and Oklahoma is – there's nothing big about it. There's nothing 12 about it. There's nothing anything about it. You know, a lot of the teams are placeholders, and – you know, you look at a conference like the Pac-12 and you go, you get rid of USC and you get rid of maybe Oregon. It totally changes the landscape of the Pac-12, or you get rid of Michigan, Ohio State in the Big Ten. I mean, this is a monumental shift.
It is
massive, and it literally could be so detrimental to these teams. So hopefully I don't think it was a mistake or an accident that this slipped out. I think there was a lot behind it, and a lot maybe we don't know about, and maybe just part of it here. I'm just speculating that it maybe was a chance for these other conferences to just kind of, you know, have a heads up here. You know, things are going to shift, and it will shift things massively.
I felt bad for Oklahoma State because I feel like that's a program that is, like, in football terms, it's as close. I mean, you could say that in the last 8 years they've been – more successful than Texas. I mean, I just think Oklahoma State, this just makes you feel bad. I almost want to play some sad music behind, but I feel like that'd be insult to injury. We've heard unconfirmed reports that OU and UT have approached the Southeastern Conference officials about joining the SEC. We're gathering information. We're going to monitor it closely. If true, we would be gravely disappointed. You feel like this is a breakup of – No, it's not true, man. Like she wouldn't do that to me. I mean, like if it's true though, I will be. We place a premium on history, loyalty, and trust. Be assured, we will aggressively defend and advance what is best for Oklahoma State.
But here's something that I think is interesting for the Big 12. I mean, if college football is going to go to, you know, a conference winner, and the Power Five teams are going to have a team in there. If you're an Oklahoma State, you're an Iowa State, you're some of these other, you're a TCU, you're maybe a Baylor, some of these schools in the Big 12, you go, we probably have a much bigger shot at winning a conference championship and getting a berth in the playoffs with kind of the behemoth dinosaurs out of the way. And you know, they're going to get gobbled up in the SEC, and it just makes, you know, that conference harder to win more games. You know, and you're going to have teams in the SEC that maybe have two or three losses.
Here's a question. If you're BYU, do you want to be a part of a Big 12 that is Texas and Oklahoma-less?
Yes, 1,000%.
Okay.
I think. I mean, if you're just first blush for me.
Whatever version of that is in the future, I mean, certainly. Certainly, it changes everything for the discussions of expansion. Super conferences, all those things. For every conference, if there's a shakeup with Texas and Oklahoma and the SEC, then you're going to see the rest of college football also be affected by this. Let's take the break. News, traffic, and weather now. Sam Farnsworth is going to join us live from a Mountain West Media Days here as we get ready for college football season. Yes, that college football season. This one coming up More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell. Ooh, I get goosebumps, Scott, talking about college football expansion. If you think it's going to be some sort of possibility that it's going to break up college football, it's going to destroy college football to have Texas and Oklahoma move over to the SEC, it's going to make the SEC more competitive. You're right. And they're going to take a lot of money away from everybody else. Unless you can win, baby.
Think of all the schools in the SEC that are now going to play Texas and Oklahoma.
It's amazing.
I mean, you got Georgia plays Oklahoma and Texas and Alabama.
Oh, my goodness.
And,
it's a New Year's Six bowl every weekend. I mean, that's,
it is.
That's
it's, what we're it's, looking it's incredible. At here.
And then there's Vanderbilt in Kentucky. So I'm excited about the possibility of everything moving in a direction of super conferences, because I think you're going to have better college football playoffs going forward after that. It's not going to happen for a while, but we're still excited about it. Joining us right now on KSL's Unrivaled, he is from KSL 5 Television. He is down attending the Mountain West Media Days for football, of course. Sam Farnsworth, what's going on, buddy?
How you guys doing?
Fantastic.
How you doing?
So beforehand, I have to imagine that everybody was discussing a little bit of some of the news out of the south of the country here, where Texas and Oklahoma possibly could be getting some sort of a deal done to join the SEC in the future. Did anybody talk about that at Mountain West Media Day?
Yeah. In fact, Commissioner Thompson even Craig Thompson mentioned it. I mean, someone asked about it. He mentioned in his press conference that he had, you know, seen some news out there that could affect the landscape without diving into it. And obviously someone asked him, you know, hey, well, obviously you're talking about Texas and Oklahoma. You know, how would that affect what you guys do? Because obviously, you know, the Mountain West has been through this before, where expansion happens elsewhere and the trickle-down effect affects the conference. And in the case of 2011, obviously Utah left the conference and was a part of that expansion towards the Pac-12, and then BYU left. But we saw the trickle-down effect, right? TCU ended up leaving. And, you know, so clearly, let's say Oklahoma and here's just me speculating, Oklahoma and Texas go to the SEC, then what happens with the Big 12? Well, maybe Air Force goes over to the Big 12, or a Colorado State or a Boise State even, you know, or, you know, BYU's independent, but that, you know, it's going to have an effect on the Mountain West, whether it happens or not. So he said, you know, I'm not going to speculate or anything about stuff like that. I'm not going to talk about things like that. But he did say my cell phone, my pocket's been vibrating all day with his associates of other conference commissioners and athletic directors within the conference asking, hey, what does this mean if it happens? So he clearly is aware of it. He's not going to speculate on whether it'll happen or not, but he is paying close attention just as we are.
I'm sure he has to be, and I'm sure it's going to have that effect, whether it brings teams into the conference or out of the conference. I'm curious. So Boise State has kind of been the marquee program in the Mountain West. New coach, maybe not a new direction, but do you still feel like Boise's the team that everyone's shooting for, or are there shifts in the conference with this coaching change?
In the Mountain West Conference, I think it's still going to be Boise State, because they've built a tradition and they've shown that through coaching changes, you know, they've still been successful on a national level. And so even though they've got the new coach this year, it's kind of hard to think that they wouldn't be able to continue their success in the Mountain West, their success nationally as well. So, you know, here's me just, you know, throwing stuff out there again, but if, you know, Oklahoma, Texas leave Big 12, I would imagine the Big 12 would look at adding four teams to get back up to 12 again, right? Or beyond, you know, and so you'd look at a Boise State for sure. I think BYU would probably come into play finally for that conference. And out of the Mountain West, I honestly think Air Force would be an option there, just because they are more of a national brand, you know, with the Air Force Academy. San Diego State, even though they're all the way out on the on the West Coast. That's, you know, if you're thinking that far west, that's another program that I think you would want to show some interest in.
Well, if you have the name big in your conference, you got to be big.
You've got to
so San Diego,
exactly, right? Coast to coast, coast to coast.
Yeah, they haven't thought about making it the Big Mountain West yet. So one of the things, Sam, obviously, as we're trying to get to know, you know, Blake Anderson's philosophy. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get to kind of know him a little bit more as the new head coach there. He's inherited a lot of challenges there at Utah State. What do you anticipate? Yeah. What's he been talking about with his team, or how far they've come, I guess, since he's arrived? And what's this year look like for the Aggies?
Well, back in the spring, during spring football, he said something that made me kind of raise my eyebrows a little bit, saying, you know, I really don't know what I've got here. And I've got to, you know, even through spring, he just didn't really sound very confident in everything that he had. So today I kind of reiterated that question and just was like, you know, how confident are you in this bunch? What do you feel like you've got in your group? And again, he just kind of said, you know what? Until we get out there on the field, I really don't know completely what we have. And so he's still trying to develop an identity with this team. You know, he's got 18 guys that return from the starting roster last year. He brings 14 four-year transfers over. Among the transfers that he brought over, 14 of them have 4 years of experience. You know what I mean? So he's bringing all sorts of talent over to try to develop an identity with this team. But one thing I learned about Blake Anderson today by speaking to all the other coaches in the conference is that those guys know him very well. Several of them are close friends with him. And multiple of the coaches within the conference said that it was a slam dunk home run hire for Utah State to get Blake Anderson. So even though Blake Anderson is saying things to me like, he doesn't really know what the identity of this team is, doesn't really know what he has until he sees him on the field, what I hear from those other coaches is that he's the right guy for the job. You just might have to give him a little bit of time to get what he wants out in Logan. But once he gets there, it sounds like winning follows him wherever he goes, is what they say.
Sam Farnsworth from KSL 5 Television. You can. I'm assuming you're going to do. Are you guys going to do the news from there, Sam? What's going on tonight?
We will. Yeah, yeah. I'll be live here in Las Vegas. JJ will be live earlier in the show from Tokyo. We're all over the place in the news tonight.
Yeah. That's quite a difference of mileage between the two of you, too. That's a massive.
That's
deal.
A big, little bit. That's big.
That's
KSL.
Big KSL. There
sports
you go.
Right there.
All right, Sam. We appreciate it. Have fun down there and safe travels back to the home front here. We're going to take the break here. We'll come back. We've got our MVPs next. Stay right here with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
Hey, folks. Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Geary. Thank you for tuning into the show. We always appreciate it. Yeah, it's nice to have fans. It's nice to be a pre. You know what's really nice to me, actually? I love what I do. I really do. I love doing this. It's a lot of fun. Really enjoy it.
That it? Oh, I thought you were going to. I'm used to you going, hey, I got a question for you. I was waiting for that. I didn't get it. I was. Now you're just being all grateful and setting the mood of gratitude.
Actually, you know the question that just is always on my mind.
What is it? Oh, boy.
Why is Aaron Rodgers so grumpy? It's always on my mind.
I want to know, like, what's...
I mean...
You want to get him in a room and go, who hurt you?
Right. It's the more they...
What's the problem
The
here,
more
kid?
The Packers extend olive branches to him, the more he just digs his heels in.
Do you think it's because the email's coming from the wrong person? He's like, no, I want to hear from someone else.
I don't know. It's just like he wants to be grumpy at the world. I mean,
do you think that it's the kind of situation where it's like, look, what are the pitfalls of being in a workplace, right? Let's say you have a valuable salesperson, right?
Do we like everyone we work with?
No, I mean, that's the way it is.
Yeah, it's just how it is.
Every office is the way.
So who do you not like? I'll tell you yours if you tell me mine.
I mean, how long do we have? That's the good news is we enjoy working together. The people we work with closely, we all like.
Yeah.
And then COVID took care of the rest for us. A lot of people don't come back to the buildings. So we don't have to see a lot of folks.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, in all seriousness, there would never be a situation where I wouldn't be able to make it work with somebody. There've been, and it's not about not liking them. It's just, you know, it's different styles or whatever. But let's say that you have let's say there's a really, really important salesperson at your job.
They and like, you know, the bosses maybe have to, dude, they're thinking about going across town. They're thinking about going somewhere else. Well, let me talk to them. You know, some of the big wigs might want to go talk to them.
Yeah.
And they do the same thing. They're like, no. No, because someone said something in a meeting the other day, and I didn't like it. Do you think that's Aaron Rodgers?
I really think that's what it is.
It's like an HR
issue. He won't say
issue.
What it is. It's like, just say what it is and just air out your laundry. Get it resolved. Because this is the Green Bay Packers.
Did he do his quarterly training? Do you think Aaron Rodgers did his quarterly training online?
I don't think he did. Yeah.
He's got to log on, and he's got to do his quarterly training.
He might be an HR example in the future.
Yeah.
This is, if he holds out and he keeps doing this, this will taint his reputation and his legacy.
The unrivaled MVP. Scott and Alex crowned tonight's most valuable player, the unrivaled MVP.
All right, so the unrivaled MVP. You want to go first, Scott? I mean, it's kind of obvious.
Yeah, pretty much. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis, yeah.
Giannis.
You've been saying his name normal all year round.
Giannis.
Why is it Giannis Antetokounmpo? Why'd you call him Giannis?
What is his name?
It's Giannis.
Giannis.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis.
Yeah.
Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
Yeah. The guy that won the NBA championship.
Yeah. And the
finals MVP.
The finals MVP.
But here's what's so great about this. One, it's not like the poster child city for the NBA. It's Milwaukee.
No. You know what they had to do? They had to pitch to us. You know, Bill Russell played here, right? You know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played here, right? Like we had to be told that there was a. You feeling okay over there, buddy? Everything gonna be okay?
Everything's
fine. So that's what I'm saying is that we had to be told that this city has an NBA history.
It has a pedigree.
Like, yes,
it has it. It's
we're
a great
to feel
city.
Good about it.
Look, the only thing I ever think about Milwaukee, which I try not to, is Jeffrey Dahmer. I mean, that's just where he's from. So I try, you know who he is, right?
I know Jeffrey Dahmer is. Okay. I did not know he's from Milwaukee.
This all happened in
Milwaukee.
Yeah. Anyways, small market, not a memorable city. It's giving me hope is really what it is.
Oh, so this kind of...
Not that we have serial killers in Utah, but
Ted
Kaczynski?
No, not Ted Kaczynski.
No, he's the Unabomber.
No,
hey, you know
who
Ted Kaczynski
is? Who was the guy?
Ted Bundy.
Bundy.
Yeah, he was
creepy.
We've
had him here, yeah.
Yeah, we have.
I just think for Giannis, so Giannis is your MVP.
He's my MVP.
He's everybody's MVP right now.
But he scored 50 points in the finals.
Saw it. Amazing.
And everyone was abusing him over his free throws. He made 18 of 19 free throws in the final game. I mean, showing up. I mean, because it was bothering him. Like, he was missing most of them. And it was getting under his skin. 18 of 19. They're down 0-2.
Did you notice
they're down 0-2 in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Eastern Conference first
semis.
Round semifinal.
Yeah, yeah.
And they come back. I mean, you talk about grit and fortitude. And this is a team that everyone kind of cast off. They said, overrated, not going to win, not going to do it. And he answered everybody.
You remember when they played Utah earlier in the year? And they got their butts handed to them here in Utah.
Yes.
And Giannis, after the game, what did he say?
He goes, man, this is awesome here. These guys seem like they're having fun.
Yeah.
Like, this is fun. This is fun basketball.
He's like, and we're not there.
Yeah.
And you knew he was amazing before.
Yes.
But then he gets in the press conference afterward and goes, I just played as hard as I could, you know?
And you know what else he said in the press conference?
What?
Which is, so all those reasons, all we're talking about, definite MVP, here's the best one.
What did he say?
He said, you know, I could have gone on a super team.
Oh, yes.
And I didn't.
And I didn't do it.
He says, I did it the hard way, and it's a much better way, and I did it.
You know what
he even invoked
Kobe, and he said, Kobe said, I'm going to be a champion, and so I had to live up to it. Yeah, it's an inspiring deal.
Anyways, awesome MVP. That was a no-brainer. Very easy.
Okay. My MVP is also this one's interesting because it's not good news. But I wanted to throw it out there because to me it was this person is not someone who I thought that I would even like growing. I didn't like growing up, but Bobby Bowden, he's my MVP. Bobby Bowden, who of course is known as this amazing, he's probably top three or four right all time college coaches. Scott, wouldn't you say? Where's Bobby Bowden?
Oh yeah,
he's on the Mount Rushmore of college football coaches ever. This is a guy who has had an amazing – career.
Amazing.
He was at Florida State and won multiple national championships. He was the picture of, how to recruit, and how to be like, but he was always very humble in his interviews, and he's always very, but he's a Southern guy, so he had that character. And Bobby Bowden was told this week, apparently, that he's been diagnosed with a terminal medical condition. Now, we're not told what that terminal medical condition is. They didn't release that. He had COVID last year.
Well, we all have terminal conditions.
Yeah, they're being born, right?
Yeah, coming. I mean, we all die the minute we start
right.
living.
I got you. He had COVID last year, got through it, got a leg infection after that. It was in the hospital for another 5 days, got through that. And then he received news that that he's got a short amount of time left on this planet. And for those people who believe in a higher power, Bobby Bowden is one of those guys. And his statement wasn't, I've had a great life coaching football. He was like, Ann and the family and I are at peace. I came here and I came here because I wanted to do everything that the Lord asked me to do. And I tried my darndest. And Ann and I and my family were at peace with this. He's 91 years old. And so I think to myself, you know what? If somebody's going to tell me at 91, you know, that I have a terminal condition, I would say, finally.
Yeah, right? Thank goodness.
But Bobby Bowden was one of my favorite interviews of all time. I've interviewed him a couple times when BYU played him the last set of games that they played them on their last home-and-home. And they absolutely kicked BYU's butt. This is after BYU beat Oklahoma, beat Tulsa. They come back home riding high, I think ranked at least in the low, maybe even in the top 10 because they've beaten the number 3 Oklahoma. They beat, you know, Tulane almost by 70. And they come back home, and they were – and this was a game with Florida State in Provo.
Right.
And Bobby Bowden, you know, before the game, I'm doing these interviews with the coaches. You interview the coach beforehand over the phone, and then you play it in the pregame and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And he was like, man, I'm telling you, I don't know. I mean, this team is phenomenal. I haven't seen a team like this since Lavelle Edwards was there. And, you know – And that's a guy, he's his contemporary, right? Yeah. I mean, he goes, I haven't seen a team like this. Hey, man, y'all are good, man. And just the whole interview, just effusive about, I'm just worried about my guys with the altitude and, you know, all these screaming LDS kids up in the stands. I mean, he was so animated about all this. And I remember thinking to myself, this guy, man, he's worried about this game. Florida State, flash forward to Florida State beating BYU, I want to say 52-17, something along those lines. And Bobby Bowden, after the game, was asked about that. You know, before this game, he didn't think maybe he stood a chance. He's like, I told you all to watch out. And he's winking at us in the freaking media room. And I remember thinking, this guy. Yeah. And I just, you know, I saw that he was diagnosed with a terminal condition. And they made that statement today. And I thought, that's a bummer.
Well, he's a good MVP.
One of those good guys.
Yeah. And, of course, Marshall, when they had that tragic accident in the early 70s, and he basically opened up his whole everything, his offense, his film, to the new coaches to help him kind of get back on their feet. And I didn't really care for him until I saw that.
I think he had kind of the hateable thing because he was a little bit of the Yankees, you know, in the 80s and 90s of Florida State. All right, we'll come back. We got more to go right here at KSL's Unrivaled next hour. Got a lot to jump into. Stay right here with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
This hour of the program was recorded this very afternoon, and you're the first person to hear it. Congratulations.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, hour number 2 of the program. It is KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell, former University of Utah great Scott Mitchell. And just old me, Alex Keery.
Oh, shucks.
Oh, boy. Shoot. It may get that whole – the Bobby Bowden story I was talking about last hour.
Uh-huh.
It just keeps making – like, those guys
played – That had an impression on you, didn't it?
Those guys played mind games with everybody. Everybody.
He sucked you in, huh?
Oh.
Sweet southern sappiness.
Thing, I fell for it. Yeah. And you know what's funny?
Who else is good at that?
Who?
Brett Favre.
Oh, same thing.
Just the same thing.
It's
Come
just that,
on.
Like, I'm just from the Mississippi Delta. You know, I don't know what's going on here, man.
I'm lucky to have a job.
I own a tractor and one vehicle.
It's like, I didn't know the difference between cover one and cover two. I had to have
if
Ty Detmer.
If you don't know the difference between cover one and cover two, you might be a Brett Favre.
That's what I feel like. He was the Brett Favre. Oh, my goodness. All right. We got to start off the 8 o'clock.
We could do a whole show on this.
If you only have one strap on your chin strap, you only buckle it one time, you might be a Brett Favre.
All right. We've got the 805 cut. I could do that voice all day, too. My thing is, I just love it. So.
The cut at 805. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
We spoke a little bit about it last hour. We were so focused on the I mean, anytime there are rumors, Scott, rumors are way funner to talk about than like actual
reality
news.
like facts.
So so the NBA title, of course, the Milwaukee Bucks won last night. We talked a little bit last hour about Giannis Antetokounmpo, our MVP, or Scott's MVP for the evening, and also everybody else's MVP, it seems like, too. And by the way, I didn't mention he went through the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A with the trophy.
Did he really?
Yeah, and got 50. This morning. Got 50.
He had to get 50.
50 small, 50 of those breakfast sandwiches, those mini chicken biscuit sandwiches.
Okay. Never had them before, but.
I mean, you could imagine.
Yeah.
Crispy chicken.
You know why
tiny
it's 50,
biscuit.
Right? 50 years since the Bucks won.
And he dropped the 50 spot.
Right.
Couldn't have done it in a better way.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this,
he's got to go around now everywhere buying 50 somethings.
Right.
Like, I just bought 50 Rolls Royces.
How are you going to pay for that? And if he hands you a 20, you just go,
no.
Yeah, we don't take that here, buddy.
We'll take your 50.
I know, that's it. So, Giannis, of course, he's that poster child of just what a way to win the title. Now,
yeah.
On local Twitter last night, I want to ask you this question, and this isn't like the majority of what I want to talk about, but I want to ask you this. Sam Merrill, who of course was drafted by the Bucks and is on that Bucks team.
Yes.
He's been on the roster for, you know, the entire season. He's pretty deep on the bench.
He gets garbage minutes.
And so is Elijah Bryant, who signed with the Bucks, I would say 15 minutes ago in sports years,
yes.
Right? I mean, he came on, he was a late add to their roster late in the season. That being said, they had playoff time that they played. Do you remember when they lost by 50-something points to the Nets?
Yeah.
That's when Sam Merrill and Elijah Bryant
really
were in.
Shone. Yeah.
But I was watching last night and they're like, congratulations to our local NBA title winners, Elijah Bryant and Sam Merrill. A lot of this from all the local media. And there's that part of me that went, because then people were putting up Elijah Bryant NBA titles, 1. Chris Paul NBA titles, 0. So I wanted to ask you, if you're that guy and you're on that roster, how do you feel about getting that? Is that one of those that gets sold on eBay 13 years down the road?
Oh, heavens no.
The ring?
No way.
Because that's
No, what happens is in 13 years, Elijah Bryant was the finals MVP.
Right.
That's what happens
That's what the
story becomes. Right. It's not eBay.
I'm not trying to slight them. What I'm saying is it I mean these are small rosters compared to – I mean, it's a very small roster. It's like the guy on the NFL team who gets that Super Bowl trophy. We could name this every year. There's always somebody who's a nobody who wins the –
Up by the team halfway through the season.
Right, was on the practice squad.
Whatever. Here's the guy who's upset by it. Okay, this is the guy who's upset by it. The guy at the end of the bench, he is like in heaven because he's like, never in my life.
Yes.
It's the guy who got injured. Who played the early part of the season and never contributed to the team.
He had the hoodie on last night.
Yeah, and it's that guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't want this ring. I don't deserve it. I wasn't ever a part of it.
That's interesting.
That's the guy who
shows up at the very end. He's like, I'm with all of you guys.
Yeah.
But the one who gets injured after, you know, 2/3 of the season and basically hasn't been a part of practices, a part of getting any minutes. That makes sense.
It's like Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Kind of when they won the Super Bowl,
he was going to be the MVP that year, it seemed like.
But then he was like, it was all Nick Foles.
It was Nick Foles.
It was Philly special. Yeah, it was and
they forget about you, man.
They do.
And boy did they.
So you have the Super Bowl ring and they go and you're like, yeah, I was injured.
Thanks.
And I kind of
And when that team releases you, a couple years later, like Carson Wentz, like they don't, you're not there anymore, you go.
So Trent Dilfer supposedly claims that his Super Bowl trophy with the Ravens is stuck in a drawer and he never looks at it.
Oh, the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he feels kind of slighted by that whole experience.
Because it was the defense that won the
and that they didn't re-sign him the next year. Right. And it was they won in spite of Trent Dilfer, which in a lot of ways is true, but not.
Yeah.
I mean, he made big plays. If I'm Trent Dilfer in that situation,
own that thing, man.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ray Lewis, and the defense. I mean, I played on so many teams where the defense stunk.
Didn't show up.
And you had great, you know, so, yeah, good
does
for
this
him.
Does last night's result give you hope as a Jazz fan?
Immense hope. I mean, there's a little bit of frustration for me.
Thinking that it could have been this. Yeah, this could have been. This should have been this year.
What's scary, the scary thing looming out in darkness, right? The evil designs are somebody's going to build a super team again.
Yeah.
And then you just have no shot. And so when you get that shot to win a championship, which this year was probably as good a year as the Jazz could possibly have.
They cleared the decks for them.
They really did. And they just, you know, so next year you just don't know what's going to happen.
Well, my thing is that makes me think that keeping the roster the way it is a good move. Figuring it out with this roster is the move. I don't know who our Giannis is. Is it Rudy or is it Donovan? I'm not sure. I mean, in terms of who the bigger superstar, the scoring superstar is, obviously it's Donovan. But
you know what? Donovan, it's like Donovan and Rudy combined together or Giannis.
All right, Giannis. Yeah.
Maybe a little bit better. Well, Rudy kind of struggled with his free throws in the playoffs.
Who's our Chris Middleton, though? Is that Boyan?
Well, no, that's
is that supposed to be Mike Conley?
No, I'll tell you who it is.
Who is it?
The guy in Portland.
Oh, Damian Lillard.
but
Chris Middleton is not here yet. All right, you can't stand pat by bringing another superstar in.
Oh.
That doesn't count.
All right. To your point, though.
Yeah.
When I played on really good teams. So in Detroit, we had really good talent.
Yeah.
We were good. And we would make the playoffs. And what would happen is they wouldn't re-sign guys. So the guys would go off somewhere else. And you were just like, keep us together. Let us grow, let us figure things out, and just give us some time. I mean, Peyton Manning, he lost 5 years in a row in the playoffs before he ever won a playoff. You know, it just takes time. It takes a lot of time to really kind of get a team gelled and all together and all cohesive and healthy. You know, you have to have a little bit of luck on there as well. And so I've always kind of joked about it, but the reality is the best thing that might happen for the Jazz is stay pat and dance with the people that brung you and see what you can do.
All right, we're going to come back. The Pac-12 has announced the list of all the athletes and the coaches who are going to be at Pac-12 Media Day. One coach not going to be there for a reason that is pretty wild, but it's also pretty expected, I think, in 2021. Also, what does it mean going forward, the realignment for the Pac-12? Stay with.
Hey, folks. Welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled with me, Scott Mitchell, and old Alex Geary there. Actually, Alex isn't old. He's like, he's peaking. He's on the way up the hill. He's not over the hill yet. But by the way, he's getting up the hill much faster these days. So I know that you're what? Into Formula One racing, but I want
like pained you to say Formula One racing.
Yeah,
you're like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
And I'm just curious. Can we digress in the racing world?
I'll talk to you about some racing for a second.
For just 1 second.
Yeah.
So NASCAR, right? Which is an acronym, right?
Mm-hmm.
North American
Stock
Car and something. Yeah.
Race. Rodeos and rodeo.
And I've always imagined what it would be like to be in that car. When I'm driving, I'm like, and they're going like 190 miles, 200 miles an hour, around a corner.
Right? They're turning left, baby.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Around a corner. And I just wonder, and they do it over and over and over. And you know how you get kind of sleepy when you're driving? Like, would I get tired? Because to have that intensity and that focus for the duration of that race, I can't imagine what that would be like.
All these guys lose, 12 pounds per race. I mean, they lose a massive amount of water and just, their bodies go through just an absolute – they're in a washing machine for, you know, those 2 hours.
Is it that it's hot? Is it that it's stressful?
All of it.
That
it's all of it. And you know what's interesting too? It's the G's that are on your body. It's all the stuff that you're going through. If you watch the Formula One guys, their necks are in Formula One is circuits, so you're all over the place. Those G's are all over the place. So they're working out their necks like crazy. And that's one thing they just never get used to is just like, you know, if you're out for a week, one guy missed because of COVID last year. He missed like two races maybe. And he's like getting back into it with the practice
because
he couldn't
do
anything. He couldn't do anything for those 2 weeks. He comes back and he's just like, my neck isn't ready yet. And like, I mean, that was after 2 weeks. So they're tuned in. I have a lot of respect for racers. I used to not really think that necessarily. Yeah. But like, I for sure am like, I look at these racers and they get done with it. The F1 guys, you watch them, they weigh them after the races and as part of like the, you know, the protocols and stuff. And those guys lose a ton. And they're already
not big
scant,
as it is.
Yeah. You know, individuals.
I just,
so.
You know, I go down I-15 and I just feel like.
You're hoping to lose 12 pounds on the way to work?
Yeah. No, it's like I should drive faster and do a little more in and out.
Yeah,
and,
no, just to go left, weaving. Man. Yeah, just go left. Yeah. Head out to Tooele and then come back down, go through Goshen and then you're.
Or just make a big circle around like I-215. Yeah.
That's what the belt ride was invented for, Scott, for you.
It was a weight loss situation.
Here's the deal. So I wanted to bring this up because we're going to be at Pac-12 Media Day next week. We're actually going to be broadcasting Monday and Tuesday from Los Angeles. Tuesday's the actual Media Day itself, so we're going to be doing a ton of interviews. They run everybody through there, and they put out the list today of the Pac-12 players and coaches are going to be attending. Now, I know it's a shocker. Of all the schools in the Pac-12, if you were to pick one that their coach would say, "I'm not coming because I have to wear a mask the whole time." Or not wear a mask. You have to be. They've required you to be vaccinated to go to the event. I think the coach right before this coach would have also probably maybe have made the same move. I'm not sure what Mike Leach's stance is, but Nick Rolovich from Wazoo, not going to Pac-12 Media Day because he's not going to get vaccinated. So
yeah, but Pullman, Washington is like an isolation. Like no one goes and
for sure.
Coming and going is nothing.
So maybe it's better for him to say. So he's not going to be there. But the list is impressive. We're going to see from Utah, Britton Covey and Devin Lloyd going to be there. I was disappointed. It'd be a power move by Kyle Whittingham to send Charlie Brewer, right? One of those. But Pac-12 Media Day, what excites you about what we're possibly going to be looking at next week?
What I love interviewing the players. I love interviewing the coaches. You get some candid responses. You get a feel and an idea from these players about things that surprise you. You know, I remember interviewing the USC players and talking about, here you're trying to win a Pac-12 championship and go to the college football playoffs, yet you have this out-of-conference game with Notre Dame every year. And they all were like, we look forward to that. We love that. That was a big surprise to me. And just some of these players and the personalities that they have. And, of course, you know, the coaches are great about things. I'm going to miss the Pirate, no question about it. But a lot of quality players are going to be there. I mean, we got some big names in the Pac-12, but some of these guys are going to be big names in the NFL. So I'm really, really excited to kind of put a face and a personality behind some of this. And from a selfish perspective, it helps me as I broadcast the Pac-12 games for Utah,
right.
and just getting some insights there. But it's fun. Look, it's fun to just chat with people, and I love that part of our job, and just kind of pick their brain and find out who they are.
Do you think the Pac-12 is freaking out a little bit about the Texas Oklahoma rumors that they could join the SEC, or are they far enough removed that it doesn't really matter? And you know, right now is right now. George Klyavkov, the Pac-12. The new commissioner of the Pac-12 tweeted out today when all this was going down, just when I thought my first month on the job could not get more interesting, and he was making reference to this. I don't know. I mean, does it affect the Pac-12? At least makes us start to think about what the future looks like for a conference like the Pac-12 and all the big conferences.
Everything affects the Pac-12. You have two of the, you know, considered probably top 10 programs in the country historically in Texas and Oklahoma. And you have them wanting to go to the best conference in the country. Jeez. And make it even better. I mean, that's a bold move right there, and maybe a smart move. I don't know if it's a smart move or not. It's almost like saying, okay, you want to expand the playoffs. You want to expand all this stuff. We're going to...
You don't go in a non-expanded playoff situation.
We're going to expand our power. Right. Fine. We're going to, if that's what you want to do, then that's what we'll do. And if you're the Pac-12
the SEC's
conference,
got six teams in the first playoff. Right. And 12 teams.
If you're the Pac-12 conference, you're a conference that's already fighting for relevance.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happened, I think that would put you even further behind, other teams in the, and conferences in the country, yeah, I'd be worried. I would be really worried if I was the Pac-12. But it feels like maybe that's the direction everything is going, is to more of these super conferences. And so, you know, we'll see. But it'll be fun. And it was an interesting move or rumor that we heard about this realignment.
Possible Pac-16 ever in the future, or maybe just like the Pac West, you know. Where it's 16 teams and it doesn't have anything to do with the Pac-12 necessarily. It's just the Western 16-team Super League that you're going to have to see, because they're going to have, you know, probably four super conferences at some point.
See, I wonder about saturation at some point, where you just get so many. You know, can they always be good? And are you going to find conferences that can get the quality of athletes and recruit the quality of athletes, you know, because I'm thinking of like Boise State, right? Who's considered,
you know, an Intermountain power, you know, so
right.
to speak.
And, you know, if you think of the teams out west or in this area,
uh-huh.
I mean, I'll tell you a great team that would be fun to bring back to the west is a team like Nebraska. And get them out of the Big Ten. Like, they fit into the Big Ten, they just don't fit.
Right.
And
bring back that old rivalry with
Colorado.
Yeah.
Because if you brought back Nebraska and you had BYU and you brought a Boise State and maybe another team from
Air Force or
San Diego State or Fresno State or something, one of those schools.
Don't leave out San Jose State. Come on now.
Well, you probably want to leave it a little bit. then that might make some sense. Now that only gives you four teams. So that puts you at, you know, that puts you at your 16.
Pac-12 is a research institute, conference. Scott, come on, they can't take BYU.
The problem with Boise
More important
State,
than that.
Well, whatever. but they should, and they could, and it would really boost things here in the state of Utah. Could you imagine BYU, Utah, in a big conference?
Well, somebody was saying,
and being able to recruit those really high level players.
I was reading today, you know, somebody's like, what about a watered down Big 12? And I thought, BYU would join any version of that to be in a conference, and even if it is quote unquote watered down. I mean, my heavens, win a championship in a watered down conference, you go to the college football playoff.
You all water right. things down, you get green grass.
Scott always there with something to bring you through here to have everything make more sense. All right, we'll come back. We got more to go on KSL's Unrivaled. Got the last couple segments here of the program. What do we have? Oh, we have our NFL roundup. We've got our. We've got our two-minute drill all around the corner. Stay with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
The Unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade-A pro football stories from your two hosts, a former NFL quarterback and the other guy. It's the Unrivaled NFL Roundup.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Yes, it's the NFL Roundup, as you just heard, so... This is where we put the NFL stories out there, and you can judge them for yourselves. So, hey, good news right off the bat here, Scott, in terms of local guys. How about local guys getting paid? Fred Warner is the highest paid linebacker in the NFL. I knew that Fred Warner, when he was in college and we covered him, I thought, this guy might have a future in the NFL, man. But a future in the NFL within the first couple of years where he becomes the highest paid linebacker in the NFL? They extend his rookie contract to now be a it's now going to be worth a total of $95 million over the next 5 years. So 40 of that's guaranteed, Scott. These are numbers, by the way, that I mean, he is either the first or second or third best quarterback or best linebacker in all of football. He's there. He's one of those guys with your Bobby Wagner's. I think that there are just a handful of guys that people look at, and the but everybody loves this guy. And yes. he's a little bit, you know what's funny? He's a little bit.
Everyone gets ready to show up.
Sorry. This is what Ian Rappaport telling us about how much that deal is worth. Yeah, 5 years, $95 million contract extension. So, and they got him when he's 24. This is a win-win for the 49ers, too.
This is the linebacker in the NFL today. It's someone who's a little bit of a hybrid, someone who can run. I mean, that's what he has, is this ability to play all downs, play in a field that's more spread out than it has been in the past, a lot more pass happy, and so he fits very well into that. Great instincts, great player, tough, plays almost all the time. I mean, he's a very durable, he's someone you can really count on. To give you kind of some perspective on this, and this is awesome, but 1994, when free agency started, the mm-hmm. entire salary cap was $34 million per team.
Every year.
Per team.
And those are hard caps in the NFL.
So you had to divide your entire salary cap, that money, up among 47 active players.
So 47 was the roster back then?
Yeah.
Huh.
So he's going to be guaranteed more than the actual
salary cap,
which is a huge thing, and it's a really good thing for him. It's also a great example of timing is everything. When the NFL, it's kind of changed its definition of what a linebacker is, and he fits that definition. The structure of the salaries and how much money is in the NFL. And then he goes to a team that really has the ability to highlight his abilities. And it was a smart move for the 49ers in doing their due diligence, but it's also a smart, you know, it's just being so much in the right place. And I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm just saying it's kind of a perfect storm when you have the right player that fits the right system in the right era. This is what you get. And Fred Warner is one of those guys that's going to, you know, as long as he stays healthy, he'll be one of the great players really to play in the NFL. And this won't be the last time he gets paid either.
Right.
So it's just a tremendous, tremendous place. I want to ask you a question, though.
Yeah. He'll only be 29, by the way, when this extension runs out.
So you get all this money.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to buy?
Oh, with the...
Because isn't that what you do when you get a lot of money?
Yeah.
You just go out and you celebrate and you
well,
go
you
buy
know,
something?
Well, you know what's funny? Your sensibilities change, you know, as you get older. I'm always like, well, I'd like to pay down my mortgage. You know, it's like that part of you that goes, like,
I'm sure you could probably pay it down just a little bit.
Well, just pay it down. Yeah. I don't want to pay the whole
of course,
thing off. That'd
no.
be too
heaven
aggressive.
I don't want to feel indentured.
Money's been so cheap these days, Scott. You know, I didn't want to. So I think that, like, in terms of things, I don't know. I don't fit into sports cars, really. Let me see here.
You want to buy a boat? Like
yeah,
a
boats
nice
boats don't interest me either.
Boats don't float you.
Come on. So I would go so many places.
How about like an airplane? Oh, you just travel.
Boom.
Would you buy an airplane?
I wouldn't buy the airplane. I'd be in one of those clubs of just like private jets
of where
all
you
the
could
time.
Just be you could have access
yeah, yeah,
to a
yeah.
private jet.
I would be private jet guy. I wouldn't be like Warner Airlines, you know what I mean? Like
right.
have my own little 737
I understand.
Or something. But I would be traveling on private anywhere I went. And I'd be finding excuses to go places all the time too. So
And it, you'd be at home at night, right? And you'd say, Let's go to Paris.
Yeah, yes.
Let's just go to Paris right now. And you
ooh.
Go just for a couple of days.
I just got a hotels.com email, honey. We should go down to Cabo.
Right.
So I'm cheap on the hotel, expensive on the flight. I don't know. I think that's what I would do. I don't know, put a little bit away for my kids' college fund. Scott, I don't know. At that point, the $40 million, you're like, that guy, I mean, at that point, you're thinking of great-great-grandchildren. I mean, I hope if you
well,
do
it's
it
20
right.
at the end of the day.
I know. You love doing that. Yeah. You love doing that. Well, it's actually...
It's a reality check.
It's not $95 million. It's
well, if he sees the whole $95 million, right,
yeah.
then...
But the guaranteed 20, you're still going to be okay. All right.
Yeah. Fred's in a good spot.
Let me ask you about this. Another person. Who's raked in a lot over his career? Adrian Peterson. Who's like 100 years old, and poor guy, he's still pitching that he wants to get signed by an NFL team. He says he, quote, feels young. When you tell people, Scott, you feel young, probably don't feel young.
Well, he's probably trying to alleviate the knock on him. Like, basically, Adrian Peterson's kind of, you know, damaged goods at this point. And running backs, it's just hard. It's a hard market for running backs in general. You feel bad because he was such a great player. and probably could contribute to a team. But
he's got 16,000 yards. Yeah. He's fifth on the all-time. He's 36 years old, fifth on the league's all-time rushing list. Isn't that good enough?
No. Oh, no, they don't care about that. They move on.
I guess not.
But I can appreciate where he is in his mind, because I was there before, and you don't ever want to give it up. You don't ever want it to end. You want to play as long as you can. So I don't fault him at all for doing whatever he possibly can to play. I mean, I did the same things. You know, I called people. I went places. I wrote letters. Shoot, I did all kinds of stuff to just give me a look, give me something I can still play, and to no avail.
If he actually rushes for, looks like, well, no, yeah, he won't be able to. He'll run down Barry Sanders, literally. He'll run down Barry Sanders in about 300 yards. That's a tough one to leave behind. You could pass Barry Sanders on the all-time rushing. Barry Sanders played for like 10 years, though.
Barry Sanders would have.
He would have mowed through that.
Barry Sanders would have been the all-time.
Two more seasons, yeah. And he would have definitely eclipsed Emmitt Smith.
Yep.
I
think Emmitt would have kept playing, though.
Just because of that?
Yeah.
He definitely, I mean, what, did he go to the Cardinals? And I remember being like, come on, man. Urban Meyer is reportedly frustrated by some of the restrictions the NFL has now with time that he has with his players. Now, does that mean like hanging out at his house?
No,
you're not
like,
allowed to talk to
practice,
guys or what?
It's meeting time. It's all of this.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a new coach and he's like, look, I'm used to controlling everything. I'm used to having my thumb on the pulse of all of this, and the NFL and the players are saying, sorry, Charlie, but we have an agreement in place with management, and you're not going to consume our world, because he's the kind of guy, and it's bode well for him, you know, where he's just completely immersed and consumed by what he's doing. And Urban's a guy that's been successful, and he wants his players to understand, and I don't think he wants to wait around to develop this thing. I just don't think Urban's a guy that likes losing. And so, it'll be hard for him not to be able to do stuff.
You know, what a fun position for him to be in. He was talking about how in Jacksonville, the entire city, the energy there in that city is more than it's ever been for this franchise, probably since they were actually made a franchise. And I think I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Taking advantage of that energy is a huge deal for Urban Meyer. I mean, fan bases are, you know, that you better get them quick. You better start winning quickly,
right.
And I don't know if that's going to happen right at
and
the top.
And he's done that, you know, where he came to Utah, won quickly, Florida won quickly. You know, of course, these are programs that are good. I mean, he didn't go to a, you know, a dog. It's going to be a different adjustment for him.
We'll come back, and we're going to wrap things up with our two-minute drill next. Stay right here with us on KSL News Radio. It's KSL's Unrivaled.
They've worked much of their life.
Hello there, folks. Welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled, Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. I have a question for you, Alex.
What? I know. That doesn't sound like you.
All right. If you were a superstar, I don't care what sport it is. Maybe you can tell me which one you would love to be a superstar in. But would you rather have a full-size, like, billboard type of thing, like in, say, Times Square, or let's say you're really famous here in Utah, it's like downtown Salt Lake, or would you rather have, or would you rather be on like a cereal box, like Wheaties, or kind of a? I just saw LeBron James Space Jam cereal at the grocery store the other night, and I was like,
well, he gets the best of both worlds. He's on all the billboards, the TV commercials, and all the cereal boxes now.
Maybe it's which cereal box would you what cereal would you want to represent?
What's in Space Jam cereal?
I don't know.
There better be marshmallows.
I would think so.
Yeah,
tiny little Martians, marshmallow Martians.
Marshmallow Martians. I would say so. Best cereal on the planet is Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Okay, it's a good one to pick.
They don't put people on those boxes. Okay, people don't end up on Cinnamon Toast Crunch boxes.
Yeah.
So my next pick is going to be Golden Grahams.
Well, why not? Why wouldn't they put you on?
If that was big enough.
So if you could get on Cinnamon Toast Crunch, you would.
Yeah, I'd do it. But I'm telling you, but it would be nice if I was an Olympic athlete, and you win the gold medal, you have to be on the Golden Grahams. Wheaties is out.
Oh,
put me on the Golden Grahams. Gold medal, Golden Grahams.
See, I ate Wheaties because They had all the cool people that were.
I remember eating Wheaties as a kid, and I was like, oh my gosh.
You have to put a lot of sugar on it.
Remember when you'd put sugar on cereal?
Oh yeah,
by the spoonful, and then and then you wondered
at the
end
of the milk.
Yeah, you're just half a cup. You're farming the sugar at the bottom with your spoon. Later, you go, what's going on here? You'd put the sugar on there, and then you'd go pour the milk, and it would all just go straight to the bottom immediately.
So it disappeared, like it's like it wasn't.
I would
there.
Try, and maybe there's a better method for it. What I did was
maybe
I
you should put the milk on first, and then put the sugar.
I got it.
Kind of get everything.
I licked
wet.
Each flake, and then I'd put it in, and then the sugar would go.
Yeah, that's efficient. So, you know what I did with the cereal?
What?
My dad said, that boy's got to put some weight on.
Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't with 2% milk.
You did the whole milk?
I did half and half.
Oh, I bet that tasted amazing.
It was amazing. It was so good. It was awesome.
Well, I've done the, that's a fat guy move. Because
they were worried that I would never gain weight.
Got to
put some meat on that boy's bones.
I love that idea of being like, hey, man, I don't know about this kid. I mean, he's 6'2" and he's 11, but, you know, I'm worried about him.
Right.
Let's get some weight on him.
6'2", 6'5" at 11.
No, you weren't. How tall were you? How tall did you get early there?
I was at the height I am now at the end of eighth grade.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You were made
fun
of. So
my freshman year of high school. No, I actually... I wasn't awkward, though. I didn't go through the gangly
it's interesting because
trip over my own feet mode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but I grew, like, literal growing pains. Knees, everything. Painful.
Interesting. All right. Well, there you go. A little insight into Scott Mitchell's life. Hey, we're going to play some music here, and then Scott's going to tell us what that music is. We played at the end of each show. So, Scott, without further ado, what the heck is this music right here?
Late in a football game, you got going on the field, kick a field goal, score a touchdown, don't have a lot of time, so you got to hurry. Our show's the same way. We got a lot to talk about, not a lot of time, so we talk a little bit about a lot of things. Hurry up, finish the show, go home with a trophy, because everyone gets one, because we just participate today, and that's all that's important. And then we get 2 COVID shots and a donut.
So,
and your pitcher on a box of Wheaties.
Oh, if you're lucky.
Yeah. Or Cinnamon Toast Crunch. See, I would want to be on, just so you know.
What?
Frosted Mini Wheats.
No,
that
I'm
was
a,
my cereal.
I'm a big Frosted Mini Wheat guy.
See, then you don't have to worry about the sugar.
It sticks right
it's
on there, buddy.
Stuck.
But then they get you because you're
it's
going
that Clark
the...
Griswold additive that he put in the cereal. Give it some longevity.
I created an additive that makes it through your cereal stays less soggy. So Dabo Swinney's the latest. And I don't know why this would be the case. When I heard Mac Brown say it about UNC, about North Carolina, I thought, well, that's... That's kind of a dumb move to say that you don't like the 12-team playoff. Now it's Dabo Swinney who says he doesn't like the 12-team playoff.
Well,
Scott,
yeah, that's
why on
easy.
Why on earth would he like the 12-team playoff?
Because he's already in. He's like, he's in his exclusive club.
I
why
guess.
Would he want to let anybody else in? It's like, no, thank you.
Well, but I mean, like, it, for him...
And maybe the
reaction... It's more shots for everybody to be able to get in.
No, he didn't want
why
that.
Why not?
Because he wants to protect his turf. And the reality is you put more teams in, and you know what that means? It may expose Clemson as being maybe not as good as they think they are. Maybe so a lot of these teams.
Well, I mean...
Everything to this point is subjective. Right now, everyone, before we ever start a season, they go, who are your top 4 teams? Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and somebody else. Georgia, or a team, you know, maybe Oklahoma, maybe a Texas... Maybe a team in. I mean, that's it, and that's how it is every year.
So, if you're a guy,
why
like,
would you want to mess with that? If before you ever play, you get something. You're already there.
That's true.
You've won the battle.
Well, I was looking at it, and I was just thinking to myself, this is a weird thing for these guys to not. It makes their sport bigger, and I know that Dabo Swinney thinks that he can't get more than $9 million. He can't get more than being. You know, in the national championship discussion, but it will lengthen your career. You could get to the college football playoff more often. It makes no sense to me.
He's also a name, image, likeness guy, too.
Who doesn't like it, right?
Who doesn't like it? So I guess he's a purist. He's a traditional amateur status, traditional college football.
On the flip side, you have this character right here. See if you recognize this guy who's on the flip side of that.
It's never enough, but... I'll tell you what, Dr. Keenum, our president, is on that committee, so I know they're in good hands. And so I think that part's outstanding. I think 12 teams is a huge step in the right direction. I personally would like to see 64, and you could format it out pretty easily, you know. But I think it's a huge step in the right direction. And
there's the Pirate, Mike Leach. I'm going to miss him at Pac-12 Media Days this year.
What a genius idea, 64 teams.
We said it, except for we don't have the guts to be like, really. He goes, it'd be pretty easy to format it. French fried potatoes. This is a guy who he says exactly what he wants all the time. 64 teams would be almost impossible to pull off, though, wouldn't it?
And it would be a long offseason. I mean, these poor college students would have to...
A long regular season, you mean?
Well, all of it, because... A postseason, I mean, because you've got your regular season. So if you have 12,
I propose a four game regular season,
and
a 16 game
eight game regular season. Get rid of the non conference games, and you got the playoffs. The problem is what about all those teams that don't make it or lose early,
right.
They're kind of out four games. It's kind of hard.
Scott, I know you don't follow this very well, but anytime it's a shot at the U.S. Olympic team at all, it's a bad deal. The U.S. women's soccer team loses for the first time in 44 matches today to Sweden, 3-0, which, of course, if you follow soccer, that's a butt-kicking. You didn't just lose to Sweden. In fact, that's exactly what – well, not exactly what Megan Rapinoe said after the game. She used some more colorful language about their tushes being kicked. But, they lose to Sweden, and now they have a razor-thin margin to be able to get this thing. Scott, is this a bad omen for the rest of the Olympic team here? As the team that we kind of guaranteed a gold from, as they're the biggest favorites of any of the meddling teams for the United States to be able to win a gold medal, I'm just shocked that they lost this one. But of course, win streaks get snapped all the time.
Yeah,
I want you the full break. I wanted to hear the full breakdown. Come on.
I don't have any comment into this other than this type of team, this type of situation with how weird the Olympics is. And it's weirder by the moment. These shocking things are probably more the norm than not. And it's probably not the only time something like this is going to happen. I just like the Polish team totally botching and bringing too many people on their swim team.
That's amazing.
And they had to send half the team home.
That's amazing.
What do you mean? What do you mean 14? I thought you mean 14 just at the beginning of event.
All right, we're going to take a break here. By break, I mean we'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, good.
All right.
Good night.
For Scott, I'm Alex. We'll see you then, everybody. Thanks for being with us.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.